say 55 minutes to talk about this, and we'll do that, about living the spirit life. What did I say? Living the spirit life. At Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. It says, if we live in the spirit, let us walk in the spirit. If we live in the spirit, let us what? Walk in the spirit. If we live in the spirit, let us walk. Let's read it together. If we live in the spirit, let us walk in the spirit. One more time. Let us walk in the spirit. What I want to talk about this evening, there are three main things that you can take home from here. Number one is the central point. The central point of this message is to discover. You need to discover the central role of the Lord Jesus Christ by his spirit, called the Spirit of the Lord, in your ability to live the Christian life. You must discover the central role that Jesus plays right now in your life, in your ability to live the new life that you've received, to live the Christian life. Number two is that you must understand the awesomeness, the unparalleled power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing compares with him. His lordship is nothing contests it. You must understand the awesomeness, the greatness of the Lord that works in you, the power that works in you. That right now, as you are looking at me, that power is working in you. You must understand that greatness so that you begin to rise up in faith and believe that power to do the impossible. Can I hear amen? Thirdly, you must be aware of what this power does, what it achieves in your life. Each time we talk about living in the spirit, Christians limit themselves only to character. And they limit themselves from expanding it to everything that God is doing in their lives, which is awesome. So this evening, we are going to really show us a couple of things that God is doing in your life, that the Spirit of Christ is doing in your life, beyond your character, your daily character living, the other things that you need to really experience, which will bring out all the glory of God to the fore. Can somebody shout hallelujah? So, you know, when Jesus came here, so, no, let me make those 3 points again. Okay, I go back to that. So, the central role of the Lord Jesus by his spirit in the life of a Christian that is living the new life of a believer, the central role that Jesus plays in it. Secondly, understanding the awesomeness of the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. And number three is being aware of his activities in your life, what he's demonstrating, what he's doing in your life. All of that bring out the glory of God and show it. You can concentrate on character, but you fail in all this area, fail in this area, fail in this area. It kind of clouds everything and nobody really understands what's going on there. But everything is completeness. The completeness of his glory is what should be revealed in the life of a Christian. So when the Lord came here on earth, he saw us dead in sins and trespasses. According to the scriptures, none was good, none seeketh God. We are simply all dead in sins, separated from God. That's what Jesus meant when he came here. And you know that a dead man really has no activity. The Bible says we were dead in sin and trespasses. And we are very vulnerable because a dead person is very vulnerable, very, very vulnerable to the enemy, can do anything to him. And we didn't have life at all. Then the Lord came and said, I have come that you have life and have it what? More abundant. I said it on Sunday. The greatest need of a dead person is life, not us, nothing else. Because there's nothing he can do. Absolutely nothing. So when he came, he said, you people are really dead in sin. What you need is life. It's life. In John chapter 10, verse 10, he said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. So the life we receive from the Lord Jesus is the very life that he brought us. It is his life. Remember, it's not your life. It's not your life, because a dead man has no life. He met us here dead in sins and trespasses, so we had no life at all. We had no spiritual life at all. It's the life that he gave us. John 5:26 says, for just as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. In 1 John 5:12, whosoever has the Son has life. Put up 1 John 5:12. Whosoever has the Son has what? Life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. So if you receive Jesus into your life, the Bible says you have received the life that Christ has. It's not your life. I need to emphasize this over and over and over, because the teachings in the church has not brought this to the fore. People think it's their life. So they're struggling to be holy, struggling to be this, struggling to be that. If you can struggle to be that, why did Jesus come? He didn't have to come. Let's remember that we were dead, totally dead, completely dead, incapacitated. The Bible said we had no strength, zero strength. It is Jesus that came and imparted his life into us. Somebody shout hallelujah. And it is Jesus that lives that life in us, not us. Not us. We are just mere vessels. So the life we receive is the life that Christ has. By receiving Jesus, you receive the life that Christ has. Ephesians 2:5 says, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together. He is the one that made us alive together with Christ. He said, by grace, you have been saved. This gift of life is an act of God's grace. It's an act of God's mercy. Let me tell you again, there is nothing a dead man can do. A corpse is a corpse. When a corpse is lying there, can do nothing. So there's nothing a corpse can do for you to do anything. The Bible said we were dead in sins and trespasses. So there is no activity that we could do to give us life unless we resurrect ourselves, which is not possible. And so we had to receive this life as a gift. There's nothing a corpse will give you and say, this is what I did for you to do this for me. No, he's dead, totally dead. We were dead, absolutely dead. There is nothing we could give God to make us alive. So as we were dead in sin and trespasses, God in his love, in his mercy, came and gave us life. If you understand me, say amen. That gift that God gave us is a gift, because the dead man had nothing to offer God, couldn't give God anything, zero, zero, zero. Zero. Cops. So when people think you are going to receive this life, when you do this, when you do that, the question is, does a dead man do anything? Can't do nothing. So it's a complete gift that God gave us, the gift of his grace. Everybody say, the gift of his grace. Say it louder, come on. Is the gift of his grace. So the life is from Christ, like I said, and not the natural life we have. The natural life from our parents is not a spiritual life as such. It is the natural life that we got from our parents. And the Bible differentiated both of them in John 3:6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's the one we had when your mother had you in the... What do they call it in America? In Nigeria, they call it maternity. What do they call it here? I've been begging my wife to go. She doesn't want to go. Delivery room, right? Labor room. I've been begging her. She won't go. You know, let's go. Don't you like hospital? The good food they share there. Say, let's try one more. So they call it delivery room. So the one that came in the delivery room is flesh. It came by the will of a man and a woman. They decided, they came together as husband and wife, and they had this baby. 9 months, the baby was produced. But the one I'm talking about that Jesus gave us didn't come by the will of the corpse. The corpse is corpse. It has no will. We are dead in sin and what? Trespasses. It's a corpse, spiritually dead. It has no will. Can't decide anything. But the one that your father and your mother came together and we came out is your father and your mother decided to have you, and they had you. But the one that I'm talking about is the one that God gave us. It didn't come by the will of the corpse. The corpse is corpse. We were all dead in sin and trespasses. So how can we decide I'm going to have life? No. The Bible says it didn't come from the will of men. It came from the will of God. It was God that decided that this corpse, I'm going to give him life. Didn't come from your will. Didn't come from anything you did. Nothing. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. He said, marvel not, I said unto you, you must be born again. And then in John 1:13, he made it clear, which you are born, not of blood, John 1:13, which you are born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. But what? Why? Because the man is dead. My father passed away. My mother passed away. I couldn't go to them and say, Daddy, can you decide to have more children? Because they're dead. Corpse. The new life we have is not from the will of man. The man is dead in sin and totally dead, completely incapacitated. All these things that churches teach people to do to be saved, it's junk. What can a dead man do? Nothing. So it's if God doesn't give life, he died, completely dies like that. So it's not of the will of the dead person who is spiritually dead. He has no will, nothing, can do nothing. It's God that decided of his own volition. For God so loved the world that he now gave his son so that we can have life and have it what? More abundantly. That's how we got this life, brethren. All this teaching about go home and do this, it's not Bible. Totally, it's not Bible because it takes away the thing that God did for you freely and places it on the thing like you did part and God did part. What did the cops do? Praise the Lord. So we are born not of the will of men, but of the will of God. Now, Jesus now lives in us as we receive him. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. He said, what? Know you not that your body is what? The temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. So the Spirit of Christ lives in us. Now listen to me. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was called mostly the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord. But in the New Testament, mostly it's called the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of the Lord. And who is the Lord? Jesus. It's the Spirit of Christ. Because nothing was done that was done without him. Right from creation. Nothing that was done without him. Right from creation. And all things were created for him. So it's called the Spirit of the Lord, is the Spirit of God, is the Spirit of Christ, is the Spirit of God, because Christ is God. So the Spirit that we have is actually the Holy Spirit, but it's the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, who now lives in us. And then the Bible illustrates this, this way again. They called it living water, this life. He illustrated it as living water. John 4:14. Are you following me? Yeah. John 4:14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water, listen to what Jesus is saying. The water that I shall give him shall never, he shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water. Doing what? Springing up into eternal life. He said, when I come into you, I'm the source of life. So there's a continuous spring of life from me to you. Somebody shout hallelujah. There's a continuous springing. That's an illustration that the Holy Spirit is giving us. That this is a well, that endless well, endless source of life. That's why eternal life, I was explaining this on Sunday, maybe Thursday or Sunday. That eternal life is eternal life because it can never be separated from life because it's the source of life. So it's continuously life forever. That's why it's called eternal life. A life without end because it's God's life. And so there's no possibility of death because God is life. Spiritual death is to be separated from God. Now, but this is God now. So separated from what? So it's always life, continuous life. That is why it is called eternal life. Life without end. Remember that we were separated from God. When Adam sinned, Adam was separated from God. And God came and restored us back to himself. So now the life he gave us is God's life. And that's why that life can never, 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 never end. It is God's life. So it is the source of life. You have the Spirit of God in you. You have the well of life in you. The Spirit of God illustrated like to you that it is from what we do on earth he's using to illustrate this thing. That's spring of life. Spring of, everybody say spring of life. Oh, come on, say it more. The spring of life. Come on. Say, I have the spring of life. Say it louder, I have the spring of life. Say it louder, come on, I have the spring of life. It's rising and gushing in you. It's not trickling, it's gushing in you. Into eternal life, manifesting as this eternal life, the life of God that people see. But the source is Christ himself. The source is Christ himself. Amen? I said amen. I said amen. And then he illustrated it again. Again, remember, he's using natural things to teach us these things. He said it's like sap in a tree. He told us it's like well in you springing up and producing eternal life. He said it's like a sap, liquid sap in a tree, flowing from the vine to the branches. Remember, this one is springing up from him to your body and manifesting outside. So this one is saying it's again like a tree and a sap. Do I have to illustrate sap? Right? Do they know what sap is? Sap is the liquid in the tree that carries food from the root by osmotic gradient. Sopor. Hey, man. Yeah, by simple osmotic gradient, from the root, it carries it to the leaves, where there's transpirational pool that pulls it up. I haven't forgotten what I read. That sap comes from the root. The root draws water into the tree. And then by osmosis, it keeps going from cell to cell, cell to cell, cell to cell, because of the evaporation taking place in the leaves. So it is pulling it to the leaves. If you remove that cell, if you remove that sap, the branches will die. The branches on themselves cannot produce sap. They take it from the tree. So when you cut off a branch, what happens to the branch? It cannot produce sap on its own. It cannot. You see, God is illustrating to the Christian the life he has, so he stops struggling. He stops struggling. He stops trying to produce what only him produces. He's the source of it. When you understand these things, you enter his race and cease from your labor. And then you see the glory of that life. Somebody shout hallelujah. That's why people struggle. They struggle in prayer, sweat in prayer, sweat. Hey, you should flourish in prayer. Prayer should be a beautiful time of conversation with your Father. He talks to you, talk to him. Prayer is your lifestyle. Prayer is not a church program. Prayer is not a program. So when your children talk to you, is it a program? No, they talk to you because they're your children. You talk to God. It's not a. Look, it's good to have these special times of prayer in the morning and every. But if that is all you have, you are missing a lot. People have this compartmentalized kind of Christian mentality. I don't like the word quiet time. Every hour is quiet time for me. I've done quiet time, it's over. He forgets God the rest of the day. Totally, his mind is off God. Even when God is talking to him, he's not even here. Chatting and talking, blah, blah, so busy, doing this, busy, doing that. Then in the night when he comes, he remembers God again. That's not how it is. The Bible says, may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. 24-7. So it's illustrating to us that this is like sap that is coming from the vine and going to the trees, going to the branches. And without that sap, the branch can do nothing. Can you imagine a branch trying to bear fruit on its own? John 15:5. Yes, I am the vine. Again, illustrating this thing from what we know. I am the vine. You are simply what? branches. That's how we are. Those who remain where? In me. And I flow in them. I in them. They remain in me. How does a branch remain on the plant? By attaching. What attaches you to Christ is the faith. You receive him by faith. You live in him by faith. The just shall live by his faith. It is faith from beginning to the end. It's not by works. It's not by struggling. It's simply by faith. It's simply by faith. Didn't say the just shall live by struggling, by this and this. Brethren, let me repeat this thing. If you are sweating, you are carrying a labor you shouldn't carry. You missed it somewhere. I'm telling you. You see, a lot of people sweat and sweat and sweat. And all this sweat produces nothing. Because only those who believe will see the impossible become possible. It's not by struggling and all those things. No. All things are possible to them that what? So it is through faith you attach. Through faith what? You attach. When you came to Christ, it was because of your faith in Christ that you became part of his body. Somebody shout hallelujah. So he's saying those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So just illustrating this spirit life that he gave us, this awesome spirit life that Christ gave us, this new life that he imparted in us. He said it's like a sap that flows from me, I'm the vine, and flow into your body. Flowing from me and flow into your body and producing eternal life. It's like a spring of water from the source, springing and touching all parts of your body, controlling you. We know we're teaching about coming under the control of the love of God, being controlled by the love of God, because God is love. By God's grace, we're going to develop this thing later. I'm just doing this night thing. When we're done and go, come back to church, we teach this thing. Can I hear amen? We really teach this thing. I teach it. You know, so it's coming under the control of that spirit of Christ that is in you and guides you. As many as are led by, you know what it means? As many as are controlled by the spirit of God. As many as whose life is watered and takes over by that spirit. When you touch that spirit, you touch that water. When you touch that person, you touch that water. When the water is there, it seeps out and people say, wow, this thing has this water in it. So we are the branches, and Jesus is the vine who supplies us the life that we live, the life that we have, who shows us as fruit. We must understand the supernatural nature and the incredible ability of this life that Christ has. We must understand, every Christian must understand, the supernatural nature. Everybody say supernatural nature. Come on, say it louder. Come on. Supernatural nature. Every Christian must understand. Don't just talk words that you don't get the meaning. Okay, I have life, but you have to know the nature of this life. Got to understand it now. The Bible says my people are destroyed for... Yeah, if you don't know the nature of this life, believe you, you cannot believe it to the extent of its ability. You can't really expect it to work beyond what you think it is. Your faith can't go beyond your knowledge, period. Can't go beyond your knowledge. For faith cometh by hearing the word. It comes from a revelation. You can't have faith. People try to have faith because they have trouble. They have faith. And the way you talk with them, you really know they're far. Sometimes you don't know where to start. Because they will need a lot of Bible studies. And you just shake your head and walk away. Because you grow in faith. You really grow in faith. And Christians should be serious about growing their Christian life. I keep saying it. Stop being superficial. Christianity will put you in a great disadvantage. Because trials do come. They can be severe. And if you are rooted and grounded, Jesus says, see this my word. If you are rooted in it, let the flood come. Let this one, whatever comes, it cannot uproot you. But you can't be superficial. You're not interested in knowing the Lord. You're not interested in, you just come to fulfill all righteousness. When troubles come, you too will be fulfilling all righteousness there. You see how we put ourselves in all these things. And we blame God, blame the church, blame the pastor. But when they were telling you, begging you, begging you, begging you, begging you, begging you. So we must know the extent of this power that works in us. So we'll be able to believe it now, believe its capability, believe its ability, believe its awesomeness, and we see it work for us. You know, Jesus, we said to them, do you believe I can what? Do this. Do you know the power that I am? Do you believe that I'm capable of handling this? As we go into 2020, you must decide, make up your mind that you must know Christ and Him crucified. Because that's the source of your faith. That's the source of your faith. That's the source of this faith that overcomes the world. There's no other source for it. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that what? Worketh in us. Even this person that wrote recognized this power working in him. And he began to talk about the exceeding powerfulness of this. Powerfulness, is it right? Exceeding powerfulness? Okay, I manufactured that word. Exceeding powerfulness. Is it grammatically right? It doesn't matter. We use it here. Don't write it in your school. Exceeding powerfulness of this thing. And he said, this power, listen, church, this is an amazing statement. This one will blow your mind. He said, this power will do, what this power will do, no human being can fathom it. He said, it is beyond your thinking ability to even begin to imagine what this power can do. He said, and this power works in us. Brethren, this power is in us. What is cancer? Are you kidding me? Oh my God. This power is amazing. Somebody shout hallelujah. That's the power God puts in you. That's the life you have. The writer says, this power does exceedingly, abundantly. The word he used is exceeding, abundantly, above. Duro, there. Number, what did the first word he used is what? Exceeding. Number two, abundantly. And number three, above all we ask. But because you don't know it, when you ask, you think you can't perform it. You think you can't perform it. You said to God, Lord, if you did this one, I'd be happy, but let me carry this one. You are having compassion on God. Paul prayed that the Christian must know the exceeding powerfulness of this power, of this life that works in us, the spirit life that is in us. He says in Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness. You see the word exceeding again? Exceeding greatness of his power to us what who believe. Talk to your neighbor and say, that power is powerful. Come on, tell him what I said. Come on. Say it one more time. That power is powerful. Then say this one. That power is exceedingly powerful. Come on. Say it again. Come on, church. Say it one more time, church. Come on. That power is exceedingly powerful. That's Jesus. That's the King of Kings. When you talk of lords of lords, he lives in you. He's there. He's the Lord of lords. There is nothing that is not under his feet. There is nothing that compares with him. There is not even a contest. There is no contest. Oh my God. There is no contest, brethren. There is no competition here. He towers over everything. When he came here, the sea saw him and they bowed. Demons came and bowed to him. Death couldn't even hold him. He bust death and came out. He said, I'm God. That's whom you have. That's whom you have. That's the Jesus you have. That's the Jesus you have, church. We need to be glorifying him. Stop playing religion. The Bible said, Paul said, God, let them know the greatness of this power. But Jesus said, you remember what he said to this woman? He said, if you know, if only you know the gift God gave you. He said, if only what? You know. If only you know. If only you know. 2020, here we come. 2020, what? Here we come. We know in whom we believe. We enter it with confidence in him. We enter it with new revelation of him. That's how you glorify Jesus. That's how you lift him up. That's how you look at things and say, you have no idea who my God is. Psalm 24, 27. That is your strength too. Is this life in you that is now your new strength? You were dead, he gave you life, gave you his strength. The Lord is my light and my what? Salvation. Then he asks an important question. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of whose life? Oh, you don't agree? I'm going to make you believe this. The Lord is the strength of whose life? I want you to do like this. The Lord is the strength of what? My life. Come on, show. Come on, do it with me. The Lord is the strength of what? My life. Come on, do it one more time. The Lord is the strength of what? My life. Then ask your neighbor the question there. Of whom shall I be afraid? Fear has come to a screeching halt. Brethren, fear has come what? To a screeching halt. I told, oh my God, oh Jesus. Hey, I told somebody, I said, who are these doctors telling you this thing? How can they decree when the law has not said that? I don't listen to anybody. He has exalted his word above his name. Who is a man that he can determine my life? Telling me when I will pass. Science, what science is that? What science is that? Somebody shout hallelujah. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear in 2020? Tell me. The report they gave you, is it God that said it? If it's not God, put it in the garbage for God's sake. For the counsel of God will stand. I don't care what that is. Exceedingly abundantly great power that is behind what he says. Nothing compares with it. That's my Lord. That's my Jesus. That's my King. That's my life. That's my all and all. My confidence in whom I trust. And that cannot be put to shame. Verse 3, Psalm 27, verse 3. We haven't read verse 2. See what happens. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, you know what comes to eat? Diseases. They do what? Stumbled and fell. Continue. Though, brethren, 2020, they are all stumbling. They will all fall. They are all stumbling. They are all falling. Cancer is stumbling. Diabetes is stumbling. High blood pressure is stumbling. Prostate cancer is stumbling. All of them are stumbling. All of them are stumbling. And they're all falling. Though a host, let it come as a host. Taste this one, this taste. You know, there are times different taste. This taste, this taste. Come as a host. They come like a, they come. There's a host, encamp against me. My heart shall not fear. Oh, man. My heart, what? Shall not fear. Though war should rise, what? Against me. In this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That's what is important to me. That I will seek after. That I may dwell where? It's not this thing they are talking that's important to me. He said, they're wasting their time. Because the Lord is my strength. They have to deal with this Lord, man. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I seek after, that I may dwell well in the house of the Lord. How many days? All the days of my life. To do what? Behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. I want to see the beauty of his glory. To know him more. That's what I'm begging you. Know him more and more. Know him more and more. Behold the beauty of Jesus, the greatness of his power, the awesomeness of his love and grace for my life. He said that's what is important. It's not all these people they're gathering together. They're wasting their time. Have you ever seen a rat trying to enter a pot that is made of steel? A steel pot. A rat wants to what? He can't enter. So in my place, they say, you can only run around it, but you can't. That's all they can do. They run around and make noise, but they cannot enter. For in time of trouble, he shall what? Hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle. Shall he hide me? He shall set me what? Upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle what? Sacrifices of joy. That's what you will do. 12. What is 12? You start offering this thing. You start offering it. What? It is 12. Bam! We give him that. He said to him, he said, let them make a joyful noise. 12 dot. 12 dot. He said, I don't want them to stop all this prayer. They prayed long enough. So many of them are confused. Just get sacrifice of joy. I will sing. Yeah, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Who is with me on this one? Come on, who is with me on this one? Yeah, that's what we do. Greatness of his power. And he says, no weapon formed what? See what he did to you. See where he placed. See where he placed you. I want to read something to you. Because of time. Look at Peter. Acts chapter 12, verse 6 to 11. And when Herod would have brought him forth. That is Herod. You know, sometimes these demonic things, they are so proud. So they have decided that they'll kill Peter. So that's the way all these diseases decide they will eat your flesh. So they think we're going to kill him. And so when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night, Peter was doing what? Sleeping. In quietness and confidence, you will possess possession. Peter wasn't struggling. Listen to me, church. Labor belongs to God. Rest belongs to you. I want to say it again. I hope you get this one. Labor belongs to who? To God. Jesus said, give unto all you that are heavily laden, give it to me. And I'll give you rest. You must understand this. You can do nothing. You are no match for all these things. Let the Lord take them on. Let the word of God fight. It's a sword. And then Peter was now sleeping. Can you imagine somebody they will kill tomorrow and they've killed somebody before? It was his turn. He was sleeping. I bet if it's me, I'm not going to sleep. That's time to do night vigil and pray all this anxious prayer that don't produce nothing. But the man was at rest between two soldiers, bound with how many chains? Two chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. Continue. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. And what happened? Light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up, what? Quickly. What happened to his chain? Brethren, the presence of the Lord has come to you. And then every chain will what? Fall. So he says, and the angel said unto him, guard thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and do what? Follow me. And he went out and followed him. and wish not that it was true. You know, when the Lord visits his people, we are like them that dream. You are going into a dream because you are going to see the wonders of his grace. You know, and he went out and followed him and wished not it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a what? A vision. Verse 10. When they were past the first and the second word, they came where? Unto the iron gate. You see, these people, sometimes they do iron gate. Sometimes the doctors don't even know what is wrong. It's iron gate. They're confused. They don't know what is wrong. And when the doctors can't help you, is that the end of the story? The things that are not possible with men, is still possible with God. And they said, so when they came to the iron gate that leaded into the city, which opened, what did the iron gate do? Opened what? To them, how? The presence of the Lord. The sea saw God and ran. The time to visit you has come. Has come. It has come. Every iron gate we open. Did you see that Peter went to shake it to test? No. Immediately they saw the glory of the Lord. They bowed. Gates open. For when God opens a door, no man can close. The doors are being opened. It's time for you to walk out. I said it's time for you to what? Walk out. 2020, here we come! Here we come! We are primed for victory. We are armed for victory. We are armed for joy. We are armed for joy. Doors are being opened. Doors are being opened. Iron gates are being broken. Iron gates are being broken. Child of God, move! Let me give you the word from the Lord to all of you. Want you to hear. Zechariah 2:8. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, he sent me after glory to the nations which plunder you. For he who touches you touches the apple of his eyes. For surely I will shake my hands against them, and they shall become spoil for their servants. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion. For behold, I am coming, and I will dwell in your midst, says the Lord. Many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and they shall become my people, and I will dwell in your midst. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you, and the Lord will take possession of Judah as his inheritance in the Holy Land. And will again choose Jerusalem. Be silent, all flesh. Be silent, what? All flesh. It's not by power. It's not by might. But my spirit, says the Lord. Look at 2 Corinthians 2:14. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Brethren, this is you. Thanks be to God, I'm reading the New King James Version. Now, thanks be to God, how many times? Always. Come on, church, how many times? Always. How many times, church? Always. God always leads us in triumph in Christ. Never do we lose. He leads us in triumph in Christ. And through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For even over sin, we reign. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Because of this power that works in you. Because we are kept by the power of God. Look at Romans 5:17. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness for all who receive it. We live in triumph over sin and death. We live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Can the church say amen? Now, his presence in you, this life you have, This is where I'm going to end. On Sunday, I'll continue this thing. I'm just cutting some things off because of them. Because once it's 12, that's what he told me. He said, once it's 12, I want you to rise and make a joyful and then sing to my glory. And that's what we're going to do. Now, look at this in Genesis 39, verse 1. Musicians, you got get radio. You're going to play like you've never played before. Every instrument will worship him today. Everybody will worship him today. Because we're entering into 2020 with praises in our lips. Now, look at this. His presence brings blessing. It brings what? Blessings. It brings what? Blessings. Genesis 39, 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with who? Joseph. And what happened? He was a 2020, because of his presence with you, you will be a prosperous person. Amen. Receive this thing, church. Wake up, wake up, wake up. You will be a prosperous person. Amen. You will be a prosperous person. He says, because the Lord was with him. I'm telling you, the spirit life is not just about character and things. It encompasses everything that the Spirit of Christ is doing in your life. Look, when you prosper, you become more happy. Man, you really become happier. You become more excited. You preach the gospel more. If collectors are calling you, don't preach the gospel a lot. Look at that. He says, was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was what? With him. And the Lord made all. The Lord made what? All that he did to prosper in his hand. The Lord made all that he did to what? Prosper in his hand. Can I put you in the place of Joseph? Didn't you receive the Lord? The life of the Lord? Isn't the Lord with you? So the Lord will make all that you do to what? Prosper. Oh, you didn't hear me. The Lord will make all that you do to what? Prosper. The Lord will make all that you do to what? Prosper. The Lord will make all that you do to what? Prosper. The Lord will make all that you do to what? Prosper. You'll prosper in your soul, prosper in your body, prosper in your family, prosper in your job. You have promotions. Your joy will be full. Somebody shout hallelujah. He said they saw that the Lord was with him. Haven't you had, how many years have you carried Jesus in you? Isn't it time that people will say the Lord is with this one? Isn't it time that he makes all the difference that he came to make in your life? Isn't it time that you rise in your faith and say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Who is doing this? Come on. The Lord is my strength. What should I fear? Look, many of you here who have been afraid to start business, if my friend, start your business in 2020. I challenge you. Stop working for people. It's time for you to move out. Move out. Move out. Move out. Move out. Move out. Open your office. 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 Move. 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 Church. Move. Highest will you show his glory? Is that if you opened the office, they saw you an immigrant. And they see the Lord prospering. Remember, it's the Lord that makes it prosper. They see the favor of the Lord and they are coming and saying, wow. And you start to tell them, it is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our sight. It is the Lord's doing. Glory to him. You know why we haven't moved out of fear? You have to go to school. Many people that are billionaires in America didn't finish high school. The Lord, Joseph was a prisoner. But he prospered. I'm challenging you. And in the name of the Lord, I break every bondage of fear in your life. Amen. I'm telling you, You should rise and shine. You should rise and shine. You are entering 2020 praying for glory. Jesus will be so excited about you because you are believing him for the impossible and saying you are Lord indeed. You are not a man. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. How many are ready for 2020? You will prosper in your body. Everything that came to eat your flesh, they will die today. All the sicknesses and the Egyptians and names, all those sicknesses, whatever name they have, they don't belong to you. There's a power that walketh in you. The Lord has come. Let the earth tremble. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I mean, I say somebody say amen.
Amen.
I mean, I say somebody say amen.
Amen.
Let me read one more scripture for you. Genesis 39, 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was what? With Joseph. See, he's with you anywhere. He will never leave you in 2020. He will never forsake you. He's with you in your office. Remember, he's there with you. And then, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him what? Mercy. Showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keepers of the prison. Brethren, the favor of the Lord will manifest over you. Because of his presence, he has poured his favor upon you. Even his presence to you is God's favor. He said he showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Let's continue. I know when it's time. Because the Lord warned me. He said 12 dot. 12 dot. I've timed it. So that's when I cue in. Verse 22. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand what? All the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatever they did there, he was the doer of it. So Joseph became prosperous even in prison. And then finally in Genesis 41, verse 38. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this? A man in whom the spirit of the God is, can they find anybody like you in your job, your family? A man in whom Jesus lives? He said, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand. Brethren, it is time for us to reign. We are no more victims. Time for victimhood is over. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Victimhood is what? Over. Victim mentality is what? Over. Blaming this and blaming that is over. The Lord has today put his authority in your finger and is sending you to go and reign. Somebody shout hallelujah. He's sending you to go and reign. 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 If you are ready to reign, shout hallelujah. We are 2020, here we come. Prime for glory, ready for victory, ready for testimonies, ready to glorify the Lord. This is my hour. This is my time. I don't know about you. If this is your hour, you said, yes, this is my hour. It's my time. It's my year. It's my year. It's my year. It's my year. You are saying amen to me. How about you? You say it's my year too. It's my year. Come on. 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 It's my year. It's my year. I am ready. I'm ready. Musicians, come on. I am ready. I am ready. I am going higher. I am going higher. I am going higher. I'm going higher. I am going higher. I am going higher. I am going higher. I am going higher. Every sickness in my body will die off today. They will die off today. They will die off today. I am. Can we stand up now? One. How many seconds? Two. Is this correct? Two. Okay, going, going, going. Go, you are confusing me. Huh? It's not correct. Why? What are you confusing me now? This is correct one. What's the time, please? Is it the correct one? Huh? 2 minutes. Oh, I thought it's 2 seconds. Okay, 2 minutes. Well, we're still okay. We're still okay. This is the correct one. This is correct. Praise the Lord! I said, praise the Lord! We are primed. We are primed. We are ready. We are primed. We are ready. We are moving. We are going higher. 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 We are ready. We are ready. Get ready, church. 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 Get ready. 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 Get ready, 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 come on, get ready, come on, get ready, church, pray for victory, 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 come on, get ready, get ready, let the singers come up, come on, get ready. Get ready! Get ready! Come on, church! Get ready! We are praying for victory! We are ready for victory! We are ready for victory! We are ready for glory! We are ready for glory! Get ready! 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 Come on! 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 Come on!